listener production.
The creators of this podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which it is recorded. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are the first storytellers of this land. We pay respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging, as well as any Indigenous people who may be listening today.
Everyone relax. This is Topop. I'm Charlie Clawson.
I'm Will Anderson. Hello and thank you for watching.
And thank you for watching. I like it.
And thank you for watching.
It's very sing-songy. Very folksy.
You know what it is though? I feel like we've settled in. Like we've been gathering together to bulk record these episodes. I think people know that we're trying a new thing this year, doing it in person, but it means that we have to rendezvous for a day and then we try to knock over 3 or 4 episodes in a day.
Sounds sexy when you say it like that.
Well, I think at the start, like a new sexy relationship, we were on our best behavior.
Yeah.
You know.
But now we can let our freak flag fly.
Yeah, right? And now it's just like drinks everywhere and just like much
just
more casual.
We used to have dinner beforehand.
Yeah, tap on the shoulder and let's get into it.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. It's funny. I watched that first episode we did for the year where you pointed out, like, you look nervous. And I did because it was just that, it was just the environment that we were recording. But now I'm used to this space now. I get it. And you know what I realized about me is it was, it's the body positioning. It's the body language. The first episode we recorded, I sat like I was in school.
Yes.
I had a straight back with my hands.
So straight back.
like I was scared I was going to get in trouble. Whereas now I'm leaning. Now I lean. When I lean to the microphone, I'm comfortable.
I'm the opposite, of course, because I fidget like a third base coach in American baseball. I'm always like just touching myself or fiddling with bits and pieces or yeah, exactly.
Signaling.
Like that's exactly what I am. And so you were so rigid. And still, that my fidgeting looked like, we looked like essentially a mismatched buddy cop film from like, you know, we were an enigmatic detective partnership where you were the real straight back, straight lace one and I was the one with all the tics that was good at solving the crimes.
You were Mel Gibson, I was Danny Glover. Yeah. I was one day from retirement. I mean, I feel like every, well, 90% of the podcasts I see, you know, on Listener, two girls sitting on a couch, like relaxed with it, you know, no shoes on.
Just kicking
Lotus
it.
Lotus position.
With the girlfriends.
Got a microphone.
Why are we not kicking it with our girlfriends? Like, I mean, as in like you and I, we're girlfriends.
We are girlfriends.
Why are we not kicking it?
Like, I don't think we've ever sat on a couch. No.
We're not real big couch podcasters.
I think when we used to do it in your pod cave with the two, when we had those Chesterfield armchairs, that was the most comfy I've ever been doing
the
show. That
was really comfortable.
That was really good. Yeah. I mean, how pretentious would that be, though, if we asked the listener to bring two Chesterfields
armchairs that I found by the side of the road?
Oh, that comes back to the episode a couple of weeks ago where I said, what's the best thing you've ever found that you've kept?
Oh,
it's two Chesterfields.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's not fine that I've kept.
I mean,
they're in hard rubbish.
Out. Yeah.
You're trying to justify the fact that you've like stolen someone's
sunglasses. I took it from someone. I found.
No, you found it.
And you found just, two Chesterfields.
Yeah, but had been placed in a place. I don't think that somebody just thrown their sunglasses into the ocean when you found them.
Maybe they did.
Maybe they did.
Maybe it was like a guy. It was a CSI investigator who couldn't come up with a pun.
glasses are broken. Threw them into the ocean.
potentially.
Yeah, okay.
What are we even talking about? What are we doing today?
I don't know. We're
going to get to the letters.
We've got letters today, though. We're going to do letters.
And a little update. A lot of people, thank you, everyone, over the last 6 months who emailed me to let me know that Five were touring Australia.
Five? The group Five?
Three-fifths. Yeah, and I'm happy to inform everyone that I bit the bullet and I did go and see Five in concert.
You did not.
I did, thanks to our good friend Andrew Levins. He hooked me up with a sweet ticket.
Where did you go to see Five?
In Sydney, at the Metro Theatre.
The Metro Theatre in Sydney. You saw Five.
I saw Five.
At the Metro Theatre.
Yes. And can I say that it was a party? Like, I was not prepared. Like, I think we've talked about this a little bit, but, you know, there isn't, There is an element of me which that thinks, like, you know, maybe curating the music I listen to and the movies I watch and the TV shows I watch and stuff, and dismissing certain things out of hand that maybe I have, without realizing it, denied myself, like, some pleasure and some, you know, from entertainment, because the crowd at a Five show were so up for a party.
So who are the crowd at a Five show?
It's a real mix. So it wasn't just Five. It was also...
How many of them looked like you?
A fair few.
Okay.
Yeah, I was not on my lonesome. I mean, it was Five supported by Sister to Sister, and you are very familiar with at least one of the sisters.
Once tackled one of the sisters to the ground.
You tried to kill them in a charity football match. Like Ivan Drago killing Apollo Creed in a charity boxing match. You landed on one of the Muscat girls in a football game.
Did they
right?
seem okay? One of them wasn't still walking with a limp or something from
they,
that day?
Mate, they were killing it. And they were very popular.
So Sister to Sister, what was their big hit?
The song was called Sister.
Oh, was it called Sister? Nice. And was it about being sisters?
It was a song about being sisters.
Okay.
So the way the show went was Levin's...
We're Sister to Sister. This is our song, Sister. It's about being sisters.
Can you imagine, like, we're Guns and Roses. This is our opening song. It's about guns and roses.
Like, I just would... With Sister to Sister, them both being sisters, the group being called Sister to Sister and their song being called Sister... It'd just be really hard if you're around them to not constantly be like, so how do you guys know each other?
And also in this day and age sounds like a Pornhub category.
Sister to Sister. Yeah. What category are you into? I'm really into Sister to Sister stuff at the moment.
But the way that the night is structured. So Levin's comes out and he drops some bangers and gets the crowd into it. Then Sister to Sister come out and they do a little like half hour act. They sing some of their songs, but then they sing some girl poppy from that era. They'll sing some Spice Girls and some All Saints and some stuff. But Levin's is an
I like that, by the way. I think that's a great decision by Sister to Sister, that you're not relying just on...
It's a song of our new album.
You all enjoy our back catalogue, our sistery, as we like to call it.
It's some historical facts.
Yeah, when a Sister to Sister going to do their eras tour? But I like that. Do some other songs from pop, like stars of that era is good.
Well, here's what the night was, and what I was not expecting was it was a real celebration of like that era of pop music. So Levin's is up there playing, he's warming the crowd up before Sister to Sister, and then between Sister to Sister and Five coming out, you know, he's playing in more bangers. But it's all pop music from the late 90s to the early 2000s, and it was like everyone who was coming was like dressed up, like it was a real diverse.
How are they dressed up?
Like, there's a lot of girls there reliving their youth. So they're coming in like Spice, they've got their hair twisted like Scary Spice. They're dressed up like it's the 90s and that they're going to go see a pop band.
And are these young women or are they middle-aged women?
Look, I'd say the youngest would probably be 30.
Okay, yep.
I met one girl who was like, she was like late teens, early 20s. And I was like, what are you doing here? She said, my mum took me, but she was into the music. But the vibe of the night was like being at a house party where the song, everyone knows the songs. And that's what I kind of got from it, was that people just want to get together in a big group and everyone knows the words. It's not about excluding anyone. Yeah. It's not about, oh, do you know
Can't you bloody just play some bloody songs where everyone knows the bloody words?
Yes, that's what they want.
Yeah.
It's not about, oh, do you know this song? This is actually a B-side from their rare album. If you're a real fan, you'll know this. It's not that. It's the opposite. It's like everyone fucking knows this.
So the concept is that everybody's enjoying themselves?
Yes.
Oh.
That is.
How did that feel?
Like, it's fun.
It's like when I went to see Bon Jovi.
Yeah, right.
It was one of those things that I genuinely remember just being in that stadium going, you know what, I wish I could enjoy things on this level, because this is actually the way to have an awesome life, is to enjoy things as much as this Bon Jovi crowd is enjoying Bon Jovi right now.
To the point, right? Like, because I was there with a little bit of kind of like that cynical kind of like distance, just observing and stuff.
We don't know what our complicated relationship with Five is.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a long history. Yeah,
you're one of those people that we've gone through some real highs and lows. There's been fluctuations in like the mysteries
Fiveology
that have surrounded Five, and the fact that you have just been, I mean, the fact that you've gone in, do you know what I mean? Like the fact that you've gone through the door, that you've been
in
the audience.
Well, I had to, right? Like I had to, like I have to see this through.
Yeah.
But like, I was there and I'm like, I'm half watching what's going on on stage. So like when Five come out, the crowd goes crazy and they're giving it their all and it's all the hits and everything. But I'm sort of like one eye on the crowd, one eye on the audience, because I'm like, this is amazing. Like everyone is just so up for a party. Like so everyone's just having a great time and dancing and singing.
But Five are just doing Five songs,
just
right?
Doing Five songs.
They're not throwing in any other boy bands from the similar era or anything.
No, just
like
doing
that.
Five songs. And the great thing about Five is that they're still doing the same chore from 30 years ago. So the choreography from the music video, you're seeing exactly that. Maybe with a bit less flexibility, like they're not able to move the hips quite like they used to and stuff, but it's still there. But I'm looking around and in the crowd, I see Tom Cashman, comedian Tom Cashman. And I'm like, I don't know Tom. I've met him a couple of times, but we're not friends or anything. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if he's here researching a bit or whatever. And then I see him singing all the words, like he knows all the words to Five. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay. And then I saw like a couple other friends I knew and I sort of ran down and said, like, are you here like me? Like, are you just curious? And they're like, no, it's fucking Five, man. Like, they were huge. And I was like, I missed all of this. I had no idea that these people existed or this kind of world existed. But everyone was just there. And this was the second night.
Hang on, but Tom Cashman?
Yes, I know. I'm just as shocked as you. And like we have the same management. And so I had to text our manager to go, do you know what your client was doing last night? She was expecting me to say, like, I saw him doing coke.
I
he was at
need
Five.
To know how Tom Cashman has, like, I literally saw Tom Cashman yesterday. I had a really nice catch up with Tom at the Adelaide Fringe. I so wish I had this bit of information.
Well, he posted it on his social media.
Oh, did
apparently.
He really?
Yeah, because then someone sent me a video of him that he shot at the Five concert.
Where does Five come into his life? Well, I mean, he does love numbers and graphs. So, I mean, like, he probably has some great joke about how three-fifths of Five. Like, I mean, I bet he has, like, a great.
That was the joke I think he posted.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, like, I think he said, 3 out of 5 get 5 out of 5 from me. I believe that was
there
the joke.
You go. All right.
But it was definitely a. Like I think maybe it's a like a generation for Gen X, maybe so millennial thing. Like that, maybe they had a greater impact on that generation than you and I appreciated. Because
well, I think because Five was that sort of boy band music that was adult music in the style of kids' music, if you know what I mean. Like
it's
it was
a bit edgy,
very poppy but edgy. Like, do you know what I mean? Like so, you could see how younger people might. It might appeal to them as being like, oh, I like all the rhythm of pop music, but this feels a little bit more, before I go to rock and roll or being cool about music, this might be like slightly turned up a little
bit. I understand that, but it's people grow out of pop music, don't they? Like the pop music that got you into music isn't necessarily the thing that you come back to because like you say, you then graduate to whatever, like a more serious band and that's what you follow. But the idea that you would go back.
Well, but I mean, Kylie Minogue is headlining Splendor in the Grass.
Well, I think that's what happens, though. If you can stick around long enough, right, then you become legitimate again.
Yes. Yeah. You stick around long enough that you become the villain, and then you stick around long enough after that that you become legitimate again.
Yeah. It was a good time. Like, I honestly had a lot of fun. Only saw one woman getting carried out by security, but that was because she was having too good a time.
Women to men ratio?
Mainly girls, but a lot of guys, and the guys were enjoying themselves too. Like it was a very upbeat, positive, happy experience, and I'm glad I was
much
there.
Much banter.
Yeah. I mean, there was a little bit of like not misguided banter, but Richie, who he was the pretty boy in the band, the one who had the bangs. He not the bangs, what do you call them? Curtains, like the hair, the Hugh Grant hair. And he used to live in Australia. He lived in Australia for an amount of time. But he sort of said, it was like, do you guys realize how far away from everything you are? Like, the point being that, like, they've flown all the way out to Australia or whatever. But it sounded like an insult that you guys are a backwater.
But also, we're aware, mate.
Yeah.
We're fucking, we more than.
If we want to go anywhere.
We more than anyone are aware. Like, we know that you all come down here and complain about the one trip you have to take a year. If we have to go anywhere, we have to go a long way. Yeah. We're the people who already know this shit.
But they, other banter? There was a lot of kind of, you know, we've rocked a lot of cities, but no one rocks like Sydney, like that kind of stuff.
So do you think they were sincere about that nobody rocked like Sydney?
Well, from
of all the places that they have rocked, from, do you think that they...
From the reaction of the crowd, yeah. I believe it.
You believe that Sydney believe it.
But how is this for a weird kind of like encore?
Yeah.
So they play all the hits. They play a couple of songs off their new album, which got a... you know, typically kind of like less enthusiastic response. Then they go back to the hits. But then, so the biggest song is Keep On Moving. Get on up when you're down, baby. You know, does it make any sense to you? Amy, do you know Keep On Moving by Five?
I'll be honest, I have no idea who Five are.
Okay, fine. All right, so that's their big song. Mm. So they sang that early in the piece, probably about five or six songs into their set. Then their encore, they came out and did... Keep On Moving again, but it was a remix version. Yeah.
Well, you got to keep on moving. That's the whole point of the song, right? You can't just...
Can you play a song you've already played as your encore?
Yes. I recommend it. I'm like, honestly, I remember going to see Snoop Dogg when he first toured Australia and he played What's My Name, Snoop Doggy Dogg twice. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Did he remix it or was it exactly the same?
I mean, it was maybe a slight remix, but not like a big, like gave it a stir.
Yeah.
Didn't put it in the blender, you know.
Well, we have some mail to get to. So let's make this a mailbag episode. If people want to get in contact with us, they can. Just go to everyonerelax.co. There's a contact form there. Depending on what show you want to comment on, you can just a little drag down box, pick the show, send us a message. Like this person, this is from Julian, who identifies himself as a young person.
Oh.
Someone that Amy might like to hang out with.
Nice one.
So you probably have a lot in common with Julian, who says, okay. Hey, I want to share a different young person's perspective on texting etiquette.
Great.
I'm 100% with Charlie on this one.
Okay.
If a person texts you, it's reasonable for them to expect you to reply, even if it's just a thumbs up to confirm a plan. It's all I'm asking for, Will, to some acknowledgement of received message. I don't reply immediately to every text, but usually do so within a reasonable time frame, and I get frustrated when people don't reply to my messages. I definitely feel like I'm in the minority, though, at least within my generation. Hashtag not all young people.
Mm-hmm. People are different.
I would agree. Though. I'm with Julian.
Yeah. Oh, so you agree with me?
Yeah, I'm with Charlie as well.
Hashtag I agree with Charlie.
The react.
I can't even remember what side of this I was on last time.
You have
what was my perspective?
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. I'm still on the same page. Yeah.
No, you were saying like your response is like that you assume that someone has received your text. Uh-huh. You don't need confirmation of that.
Oh yeah, no, that's
unless
true.
It is important to get
correct.
Response.
Yeah, unless there's like an action, like if there is an action that needs to be taken. Yeah, are we doing this at 3 o'clock today? Thumbs up. Yes. Right. Okay, that's fine.
If a question has been asked, but if I'm just like, hey, man, like, how you doing? Blah, 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 blah. You're like, I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to respond to this dickhead. Speak to him once a month.
Be doing better if I, you can find out then. We'll have a whole day of things to have to fill in. I'm not talking to you outside those hours.
This next bit of mail comes from Johan, and it's all about the Great White North, Canada. Hey guys, I believe the first episode I listened to was episode 17 after I heard Will mention the podcast on Triple J with Tom and Alex.
Oh, wow.
Tom and Alex. Well, that's bloody pre-Matt and Alex.
I know.
That's almost like a deep cut, right?
Before Liam and Ben, before Bryce and whoever was before Conchetta with Bryce.
Oh, right.
I mean, it's been...
Got to be honest, I don't know who any of those people Bryce are. I don't know who Conchetta is.
Bryce and Conchetta are the current ones. Yeah, well, he's the one who's been doing it for the last couple of years, Bryce. And he had somebody else did it with Bryce before Conchetta.
Right. And
then there was Ben and Liam.
And there was Lewis and...
No, Lewis and Clark.
No, Lewis. Didn't Lewis Hobber and...
Yeah, Hing and Lewis.
Hing and Lewis? Yeah. And before Hing that and was Hobber. Veronica and Lewis.
Hobber, not like, Veronica and Lewis, that's right.
But how long ago was that?
Oh, I mean, A long time ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I used to stream Triple M the morning show at work because it was better than any Canadian stations, which surprises me because I always thought Canada had like a similar college radio kind of indie vibe to Australia.
Mm. No? I don't know.
Okay. I have been listening every week ever since, and you guys introduced me to Walking the Room, which to this day is my favorite podcast.
Yeah, it's a bit...
Why bring that up? Yeah,
yeah. You could have written to them, except they wouldn't respond because they're not a podcast anymore.
Oh, sorry. Not even my favorite podcast. It's my favorite podcast in existence.
What? It's not in existence anymore, though. Yeah.
You guys are a close second. Yeah, well, fucking thank
you. Only because we're still going.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes it is the, when something's over, when it burns brightly, like Walking the Room did, because I think that's what Walking the Room will always be. It could never have been, could you imagine what Walking the Room would be now if Greg and Dave were it would have gone.
I mean, it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
But it probably, like we always said, it was like a therapy session. It was like listening to a therapy session.
I mean, it
session.
Already was. And that was before the world got as bad as the world has been. Like, can you imagine? Like, I think it just burned brightly for the right amount of time at the right period of time, and that's why it is so legendary. Whereas we're just going to keep doing this.
We're not going
to
burn brightly. We're just going to We're just going to what's the opposite of like burning brightly? We just we're just embers.
Yeah,
we're just a low ember.
Yeah, a real low.
You can toast a marshmallow over our podcast. Keeps you warm. That's right. You can cook some damper. You want to whack some damper in this podcast?
No, we'll be more like the next morning when you have to put out the fire and you've poured water all over it, but there's just this little tiny steam.
Just stomp on it with your
boots.
That's us. I was just wondering,
yes,
what do Aussies know about Canada? Okay. I don't think I've ever heard you guys mention Canada outside of a quick Celine Dion reference, and I was just wondering how much the average Aussie knew about the country of Canada.
Love it.
Cheers, mates. I ship cancer medication to hospitals for a living, so you keep me going here so I can keep others cancer-free. All right.
Okay.
I mean, not great alliteration in that, but I do appreciate the medical proximity.
Yeah, okay. So what do you know about Canada? Just top of your head.
I've been to Canada.
Yep.
I've spent...
Where did you go?
I went to Toronto.
Yep.
Toronto. What do I know about Canada? It's a part of the British Commonwealth.
Yes.
Very good at ice hockey. Michael J. Fox.
They call it hockey.
Oh, okay.
But this is what I know, is that they call it hockey, not ice hockey.
Tim Hortons.
Yes.
Donut franchise. Weed is legal.
Yeah. Poutine.
What's that? Chips with bacon or something? No. Gravy.
Curds. Cheese curds.
What's cheese
and gravy
curd?
Maybe. But cheese curds are little, curds? Like those little white.
It sounds too
lump.
Much like turd.
Okay.
I like
a poutine.
It. Okay. Bacon. Canadian bacon. Maple syrup.
Yes.
There was the maple syrup wars. It's very valuable. Michael J. Fox. Jim Carrey. Ryan Reynolds. The Tragically Hip are like the Midnight Oil, or Paul Kelly, probably a better analogy. Huge in Canada, but never really broke worldwide. But Canadians love the Tragically Hip.
And what was that band that used
Nickelback.
To tour Australia all the time with the guy had the big deep voice who was a Canadian?
Where once there was a girl. Crushed her stomach.
Oh, that wasn't who I was thinking of. But
Nickelback are Canadian.
Are they? Bryan Adams, of course, as we said, Celine Dion.
Who had the big deep voice?
What was the name of that band?
Were they a rock and roll band?
Yeah, they were a rock and roll band. They used to come to all the Australian festivals and they were a Canadian, like sort of grunge era.
Oh,
you know, sort of rock
Tea
and
Party.
Roll band. Tea Party. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking of.
Bears?
Yeah, definitely Bears. Montreal Just for Laughs Comedy Festival, which is like not
been
on
cancelled
this year.
Yeah.
Which is
we've got another
terrible.
Bit of mail about that
that's actually
up.
I mean, it's actually really horrible. I've been lucky enough to go to that festival
a dozen
times. There's a financial issue, I believe.
Right. Oh, yes. Justin Trudeau is your prime minister, who's a wokey, the wokest of the woke.
But loves blackface.
Oh, loves it.
Loves it.
That should have won some votes back the other way, right?
Right.
Do you know there's a really interesting story about him that I found out that is a massive racist? So he did this charity boxing match, like, because his father was a former prime minister, you know, I think he's like a, you know, Kennedy kind of lineage, you know, Canadian version of Kennedy. It's Kennedy with a C. And so he took part in this charity boxing match against this other dude who's like a legit boxer, and everyone was like, oh, I'm going to tune in to see this pretty boy get his ass kicked. But Trudeau like held his own, and actually that they think that was the start of him getting this popularity, is he, you know, he showed some fight, this like born with a silver spoon in his mouth kind of guy had like found all this kind of like one of this popular sport because of a charity boxing match.
So
I think that's true. Can you Google that, Amy?
So this is pre-Prime Minister.
Yeah.
This isn't one of those Vladimir Putin plays hockey and scores
nine
goals.
Justin Trudeau?
Justin, yeah. So this is
not Kim Jong-il.
This is not like, Kim Jong-un dunked on Shaq or whatever.
Rode a Shaq into the stadium and dunked on Shaq. No, it was like, it was apparently a formative moment in terms of putting him in the public consciousness, was he took part. Have you got it, Amy?
Yeah, so he was in a charity boxing match in 2012 and became Prime Minister of Canada in 2015. So it was only 3 years apart, which is not that long. And it was a senator that he fought.
Okay.
Yeah. But apparently, like, it was the current, because he was outmatched. This senator was an actual boxer and stuff. Uh-huh. And then everyone was like, man, they like the moxie of that kid. He should lead our country one day. But now, I don't know, what is the polling on him? Is he unpopular now? Because he came in with an awful lot of, like, you know, like Obama-esque optimism. And then it's like he said, hey, let's drill this and drill that. And people hate him now.
I don't know. He's still there, though, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, there's all those clips of him. This is the thing, right, about politicians. It's even like with AOC and stuff, is we venerate these politicians, you know, left or right or whatever, but I'm talking about left ones. And then when they inevitably let us down because
they're human beings.
They're human, they take money. And,
they're
you know,
imperfect
they've got,
human beings.
And they have lobby
working
groups
in
and
an
stuff.
Imperfect system.
We're all like, fuck, you weren't perfect. Yeah. Why not? Why can't you be perfect in this imperfect system?
Why couldn't you play to ideals that don't exist in the real world?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a clip of him explaining this from a few years ago. There's a juxtaposition of like Donald Trump when he was president talking, and then they cut to Justin Trudeau, and it's like, can you tell us what quantum computing is? And he gives this very eloquent, accurate explanation of like how quantum computing works.
Well, I mean, I think that that's what we associate with Canada, right? Like there's the American
politeness.
There's the American perspective, which is the apologizing politeness. But I don't think the Australians get that so much from Canada, because I think we're a little bit more similar Commonwealth style countries. Like, so I think that that's a perspective we get from America about Canada that I don't think necessarily is what the position. Like, I think Australia, I mean, I've spent a lot of time in Canada over the years, like doing shows and stuff. There's so many Australians in Canada.
I think Australians, because of that shared British history, like a lot of Canadians that I know grew up watching the same TV we did, The Goodies, Monty Python, that kind of stuff. So there are a lot of cultural touchstones. I think the sense of humour is very similar with Canada, because we're both British colonies who think Americans are a bit fucked in the head. So
yeah,
there is this kind of allegiance. I don't think I've ever met a Canadian that I haven't got on with. I've always enjoyed the company of Canadians.
Who's the worst Canadian?
Drake, maybe.
I've never met Drake. Have you met Drake?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we started from the bottom.
Yeah, you together. Both. Oh, that's where you met.
Yeah, yeah.
At the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now you're in different
now
places.
Now I won't stop calling my cell phone. you can't do that on television? Degrassi High?
No, Degrassi Junior High.
It's a Degrassi. Degrassi. Degrassi
Junior High?
Yeah. And you can't do that on television? That was that. It's like a kid's
Wheels
sketch show.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, of course.
And that's where Alanis Morissette got her start.
That's true.
Mm. So we know quite a bit about Canada. Keanu Reeves is Canadian, your
shut
friend.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm. All Americans are Canadian.
Yeah. Yes.
Michael J. Fox, Keanu Reeves, Ryan Reynolds, Canadian.
The best Americans are Canadians.
Yeah. Jim Carrey. They have universal healthcare.
Yes.
They also have the same amount of guns per like resident, but they don't have the amount of shootings they have in Canada.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know if they have super, maybe strict gun law. Maybe they have stricter gun laws.
And like half of it's like French-Canadian speaking and half of it isn't, right?
Which I find must be so strange. And from what I understand.
And by the way, when I said half, it's probably not half.
No.
But like
Quebec,
different parts.
Quebec is.
Yeah, exactly.
Quebec is.
Yeah.
I believe that
the world's biggest shopping mall used to be in West Edmonton.
Oh, really?
I reckon, or the second biggest shopping mall in the world was in West Edmonton.
The professional wrestling is very big in Canada. The Hart
Rock,
family.
The Rock played in the Canadian Football League.
That's right, he did too.
Yeah.
Shit, and we got heaps of
lots
Canada
of shows
fans.
Got lots of TV shows get shot in Vancouver.
Vancouver,
X Files.
Yeah, that's true.
Veronica Mars, was that said?
I think heaps. Have you got any Canada facts that we've missed?
I think we've done pretty well. I think these
no,
have been
you've done pretty
Canada
well.
Facts.
I was just going to say most of the John Candy, most
Kids in the Hall.
Stuff. Yeah, SCTV, all those
Rick Moranis.
That's true.
Yeah, fucking heaps. Yeah. All the good stuff comes out of Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In fact, I'm declaring Canada the new America. That's where we're going for entertainment from now on. All right. I hope that satisfied you, Johan. And I hope with that we can become your number one podcast. I know we're no walking the room. Well, you remember a few weeks ago I had an issue with a dude in my gym not wearing a shirt?
Yes.
Rob's written in. He's got an opinion on this. I wanted to reach out and say, while I understand Will's reasoning, Charlie and anyone else should absolutely speak out. And a person such as he described, because I was saying, like, is it my place to tell this dude to put a shirt on? And you were like, what the fuck are you trying to do, Charlie?
It's not your place. Making a citizen's arrest in your gym.
Okay, now, Rob's made an assumption here, and it's wrong, but that's okay, that I was at a fitness first. No, that's not my gym.
That's true. We just had another conversation about fitness first.
Yeah, it's an unstaffed 24. Mm. It's a periodically staffed gym, but there was not a staff member at the time. First of all, it's a failure of the business not to enforce its own rules, meaning it places little value on its own customer experience. Well,
I like these firm business principles that are being espoused here.
So you shouldn't have to speak up on their behalf, much less your own.
Yes.
But your incentive here is to hold the company accountable for the kind of experience they claim to provide for the money you're paying.
Exactly.
If you told the dude to put his shirt on and he told you to get tossed, does anyone? No one tells you to get tossed.
Well, I mean, I don't think that means what you think it means.
No. But also, I'm not going up to a dude who's already half-dressed and asking to...
Do you want
to
get tossed?
That's my salad. If he told you to get tossed, you could notify the gym about the incident and how upset you are as a customer.
Again, this is all too much trouble.
Too much work.
This is my point, though. I'm not saying that, again, I agree that on principle, you are well within your rights to
be upset.
Yes, but I just think it leads to nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing but extra upset.
But if it was a staff gym, if it was fitness first,
then you could go just and walk dob up to the if you wanted to dob.
But
somebody.
Would you dob? No.
No.
Really?
Yes.
Mm.
Because I think if it's a bigger deal, then the staff member will identify.
Different scenario.
Uh-huh.
You're in a cinema.
Yes.
There's a dude who won't stop talking loudly, texting, being obnoxious. You turn around and ask them to stop. They say no.
Uh-huh.
What do you do?
Well, I would not turn around and ask them to stop.
Oh, really? You don't do that?
I'd just move to a different seat or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I tell people to shut up all the time.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Because how does that go for you?
Well, sometimes it works.
Sometimes?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't say shut up. I'll be like, excuse me, can you please not talk during the film?
Yeah.
And I staccato.
And then they
like
go,
that.
All right, Grandpa.
No, the one time I did it and this person, they just blatantly ignored me. Then I went and dobbed on them. I went and got the manager.
Mm.
And they did fucking nothing. I couldn't fucking believe it. Useless. I mean, the manager was like 17.
Yeah, 11.
If they planned on doing anything to fix it, this is the gym, they could use the information you've provided. Always, always, always give them the location, the day, and the time.
Always, always, Charlie.
Yeah, I mean, okay, sure.
The three A's. Always, always, always.
And security tapes and suss out which customer it was and then notify them. This is fucking
Rob. This is actually, you know what? I'm on Rob's side.
Really?
Now. This is the appropriate level. You should have gone in. You should have demanded the tapes. You should have launched a Freedom of Information Act demanded the tapes, brought them in, identified who this was and got them banned from the gym behind their back. You could have gone back in at another time and said, hey, I didn't want to make this a big deal at the time, but I was here last night, I was working out with this guy and he didn't have his shirt on and I know that's against your regulations and I just didn't know what I'm meant to do in that situation. Like, how do you feel, like, as a gym? Is that something that where I should say something, or would you prefer I left that for you to deal with at a later time? What I personally would recommend is you go back to that office and you find all those tapes and you have
I want you to trawl.
And you trawl back.
Through 24 hours. And you find CCTV.
Oh, you'll
footage.
Notice him. He's got a shirt. He's got no shirt on.
And a nipple ring. Okay. Get them to suss out which customer it was and notify them. Maybe upstaff the place a bit more to correct it. If they don't care anymore.
Add staff. I think that's a good thing to demand. You say this needs to be staffed 24 hours a day. If you're going to have these rules, you get them to add like two or three extra members of staff.
And then they raise my fee.
Well, they have to, because they've got to have staff on 24 hours a day.
Because not 24 hours.
Because you got involved in this shirtless thing.
If they don't care anymore than that guy... then that guy might, if you told him to put his shirt on, then it's time, Charlie.
Yeah, time to do
cancel your membership.
Cancel your membership.
There's no other choice. I live in a small town. Like, you're telling me I have to drive 25 minutes to get to another gym.
It's worth it, Charlie.
The business would be dying in that case. And I expect you'd see an announcement of them closing locations by the masses. It's all part of the enshittification, a word Cory Doctorow coined last year. Who's Cory Doctorow? Amy... is that a young person thing?
No, I'm familiar with enshittification. Like that,
enshittification?
Yeah, I'm familiar with that term.
I've never heard that word.
They use it a lot in regard to the internet, how everything kind of like, but basically, like, you know, Uber's another good example, how that they can kind of come in, like
make
a
worse.
Whole bunch of promises and like good times, but it's completely unsustainable and then it becomes shit, like Google.
Yeah.
But it's a concept that applies across a whole bunch of things.
The enshittification.
The enshittification is what they're calling it. It's like a buzzword.
Okay, this is from Jocelyn. Gentlemen, hope you're well. We are. Thank you, Jocelyn. Mm-hmm. I always have...
apart from Charlie, who's had to sack his gym membership, demand some videotapes, get them to employ someone else.
I mean, it is funny, isn't it? Like, so, you know, this guy's got no shirt on. I have an issue with it. But you see... like women in there all the time just training in like the crop top sports bra. So they are mainly shirtless, like their sweaty torsos and stuff are exposed.
How much of a shirt counts as a shirt is what you're
like, I mean,
is.
If that guy put a little bra
over
his nipple ring, would I be okay with it? Because I'm okay with that
just like
an
eye patch over the one nipple ring.
Jocelyn, I always have so much I want to say, but I listen to your episodes while driving, so there's no way to jot down my ideas while on the road. Please don't do that.
Yeah.
Voice to text. However, I do have a question based on Will's chat with Melanie Bracewell.
Okay.
Do you remember that one well? Mm. She's the host of The Cheap Seats.
I'm familiar Kiwi comic. With who she is. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
He asked her something to the effect of if she would like to hang out with her audience.
Yes.
So I put the question to you. Yes, including the antisocial Will. Will's not antisocial. You just don't like people.
That's not true. I like people.
You're not antisocial. It's just that you're not antisocial. You keep to yourself.
I have low-level social anxiety, which is different to being antisocial.
That's right, yeah. If you were locked in the Basement Comedy Club in Melbourne, great venue.
Yeah, great venue.
Friends of ours, Carl.
Yeah.
After your shows with the audience that was there, would you feel excited or petrified? Do you think the teabaggers are cool enough to hang out with? Okay, so we need some context around this. What is the circumstances that have led the doors being locked? How long are we in there for?
So I love that this topic, hilariously enough, is something that I quite often talk to comedians about, which is this idea of it's an end of the world scenario. Right. You're doing, so this one can apply to the basement. Let's just say the basement, for whatever reason, is
there's some outbreak,
hermetically sealed like space, right? So there's an event. We're doing the podcast in this space for the night. Whatever the thing is that breaks out above. So we're all locked in there together. Say it's the bar. That's great. There's enough supplies there for, like, let's just say, like, you know, alcohol and food and whatever is needed. There's bathrooms, you know, so it's not a bad, like, would you like to be hanging out with your audience? What happens? Who's in charge? How long do you, as the performers, retain
Some sort of distance.
But also some sort of leadership? Are people looking to you for guidance because you're the people who've been on stage?
We organize
the event.
Or are
there people within the organization or in the room or in the audience who immediately are more qualified to be taking? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, with TOEFOP in particular, if there were a medical emergency, we would be
fine,
extremely equipped. Is there a doctor? Oh, there's seven.
Only doctors.
Yeah. In fact, also the person who's sick is also a doctor. They're all doctors.
I think, look, it would depend on the circumstances, you know, like if it's a life and death thing where there's threats coming through, if it's just a case of being stuck.
Well, let's say it's let's make it a considerable period of time. Let's say it's going to be, let's say it's
an earthquake and the doors have become sealed.
Completely jammed. It's going to be 3 months until we can get you out.
3 months?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't want to be trapped even with my own family for 3 months.
Well, I mean, but you are.
Okay.
So what happens next?
All right.
Who's in charge? Who's making decisions? What's going on?
I think, well, look, we have to have that kind of lost the lost dynamics come into play where it's like, what do you do and how do we divvy
up? So we just do that. I think that's a great thing to do. We'll just do it as a crowd work show for a start. You know?
Are we still telling jokes?
Yeah, well, I mean, keep the vibe up for the start, right? So as we're trying to find out who everyone is, we just do it as a crowd work scenario.
Yeah. What's your name? What do you do?
Right? So it's perfect.
Did you guys come here together? Yeah. You're a couple? How long have you been together?
Yeah. Just in case we need to rebuild society.
I think it would be
we'd be all right.
I think we'd be okay. I don't know about, in terms of leadership, I think we have the microphone so we can communicate.
Initially, we would disseminate the information.
Yeah, but we would have to, like, I think the novelty for the audience of being in the room with us and having access to us would wear off pretty quick. Like, I think that,
Do you think we'd feel a responsibility to do like a daily show?
Well, that's what I was
going to
ask.
Though?
Yeah, I think that I think you and I would discuss that a way of keeping morale up if we felt like maybe after like the second or third show, people are like, dude, this is not helping. I'm wondering if I'm going to see my family again. Yeah. You getting up and talking about five.
Again.
Is not helping anything. So,
and getting us to recreate the best moments from the five gig. It went to.
But anytime we have done a live show and I've had interactions with fans, I also feel dorky saying fans, listeners, people who like the show afterwards, it's always been very pleasant. I've never had an unpleasant experience.
I know, but 3 months.
But the circumstances.
3 months at light, the heightened circumstances, the environment.
And I think, too, that by the end of 3 months, we would have lost 130 fans, like the capacity of the basement.
I mean, like, I think some would be with us for life. Like, you've been through an experience like that together.
Okay, what if
rusted
it's
on.
One of our...
We could make a lot of content. Like, if we had our equipment...
My God.
We could,
that'd be a year's worth of content.
Yeah, we could take a year off.
Okay, so we have one of the doctors in the crowd is a psychologist. Uh-huh. And they come and say, hey, listen, like I've just been speaking to people, morale's really low. I think if you guys could do a daily show, 5 days a week, like, you know, you can...
But like the daily show, really satirical about shit that's happening.
So much. But it's news relating to stuff that's gone down.
Stuff that's only in the room.
So the toilet's been blocked again.
Yeah, Gary.
Gary's been eating the twisties from behind the bar again. So he says you've got to do only an hour a day, but 5 days a week. Do you think... We could pull that off?
Yes, like, of course.
It's interesting.
What do you mean?
Well, I think one of the benefits of recording in bulk now what we're doing is I feel like we go away and we have like a month to think shit up and come up with stuff
We'd
and have
fine.
Interactions.
It'd actually be fine. You'd just be able to talk about stuff that's got... I mean... I guess
we could have running jokes
as
well.
I hope so.
Yeah, as in like... There would be stuff we could get a week's worth out of.
Yes.
Just
we're
from,
all in the same situation.
Yeah.
What's the etiquette? Like, I mean, we'd just be discussing, we'd essentially be the, like, Northern Exposure style Chris in the morning. You know, you're kind of the voice of the town. Like, you know, we're in this survival situation and we become the people who are processing the, hey, isn't it weird when isn't it weird when you're in the toilet line waiting for blah, blah, blah and like dot, dot, dot or whatever it is. Like, you know, isn't it weird when you're down to the last bit of vodka and you realize, you know, I haven't drunk any water in 3 days. Like we'd be able to reflect.
Are we asking people to stay seated during performances or because we're all stuck in the same area?
Yeah.
Like, or it's like, hey guys, we're just, if you feel more comfortable lying down, or if you've got, you know, you want to walk around and stretch your legs.
Fine. Well, they can do all that in between the performance.
Oh, you know, so you're expecting them to sit and listen while we perform?
For the show.
Yeah, okay.
Because that gives everyone something to do.
But not.
And in between they can like chill and hang out.
I guess, but.
What do you mean?
Well, I was thinking it's more like a radio show. And yeah, people can, I mean, well, do
what
stuff.
Do you think a podcast is?
Yeah, I know, but I mean, like you're not expecting people to be listening. Like, if someone wants,
but what are they up to? They're stuck in a room,
know, like exercise,
yeah,
push-ups.
You got 23 other hours in your day.
Yeah, but you have to. I don't know. I think it. People might be. Like, this is, you got to think of the trauma of this event happened.
I think
we're,
it's the opposite.
In these
people
chairs.
Will be looking for something to give them some stability to measure the time in their day, to gather around and to sit down and to watch the show. Right. This will be the thing that, and then in between they can be doing their stretching and exercise.
Okay, what happens if we run out of food and the...
Well, I think that's the most likely scenario.
The subject turns to cannibalization.
Ah.
And we have to kind of like, come on guys, like let's not turn on each other so quick. I know you look like a tasty drumstick right now and you're a very delicious... Nutritious looking. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. You're a very, like, how do we stave off the inevitable cannibalism?
I mean, is it inevitable?
I mean, you're a vegetarian. What are you going to do? Eat a leg of a chair or something?
Yes. Yes, that's
high what, fiber.
That's what I'm going to do instead. I'm going to eat, instead of eating a leg of lamb, I will eat a leg of a chair.
Well, you got to get nutrition from somewhere and you ain't eating flesh.
Yeah, but I'm not sure a leg of a chair is going to give you extra nutrition.
Well, what are you going to eat?
Okay, what am I going to eat? Like, well, initially, I don't think there's going to be heaps of food, unfortunately.
What if I cut my hair and I let you eat my hair?
Would that help?
I don't know. Well, I mean, it's like got to like have some nutritional value.
If I was, does it?
I don't know.
If I was starving.
Amy, does hair have any nutritional value?
Yeah, I need to know that if I was in a starving situation and Charlie.
Kindly cut my hair off using like a knife because there's no scissors in there or anything.
So why though am I.
Because I want to keep you.
Why am I eating your hair though and not my hair? Wouldn't I be better off to eat my own hair?
How are you going to. Oh, you're going to cut your own hair and eat it. But that'll last you.
How am I going to do it? It's on your head.
eat your own head.
The same way I was going to eat yours. I wasn't going to eat yours straight off your head. I wasn't going to come in for a massive chomp.
Any nutritional value to hair?
No.
No.
It takes more energy for you to digest.
Oh, so you've killed me.
Protein in hair and nails.
sad news, everybody. There'll be no more Tobot. Will ate my hair last
The one thing that was keeping people's morale up was that we were doing this daily show and now I'm dead because you made me eat your hair. I got no nutritional value and I choked on your hair.
Okay, so we've eaten all the chips from behind the bar.
Yeah, so we're bar chips.
And so we're talking about, like, we're having serious discussions around cannibalism now. Maybe a couple of people have died and, like...
Well, I mean, people would have things in their bags, I reckon. There'd be, like, people who bring some snacks, like some... Like maybe some nuts or some like mints or...
Yeah, but let's assume all that's gone. And so we're at cannibal... We're at, like, alive. So it's like, we've got to eat something.
Oh, you know, the fridge is down there. We could be lucky. You know, in the dressing room there, that they have that big, deep freezer. There's a chance that...
What about paper?
Can you eat paper?
Can you eat paper?
Again, I don't think there's a lot of nutritional value in paper either, though. Like at a bar, what else is there that is there other things that are food adjacent?
Like because olives?
Olives. Yeah, I mean, olives would have some nutritional value.
Salt. Additives like the
pickled
lemons,
onions pickled probably onions. Aren't a great way to,
yeah,
like you know,
there'd probably be fruit behind the bar, you know, they'd have the orange,
and
lemon, and lime.
Cherries and
you
shit
won't get
like that.
Yeah, that's right, maraschino cherries.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be hard though. You wouldn't, what if, like, okay, so you're eating your cherries and stuff, but. We've ethically slaughtered one of our audience members. Someone's volunteered.
Volunteered.
Yeah.
And we've got a doctor to
carve it up.
Humanely.
Exactly. And so we're frying them up.
Yeah.
And you smell
we're
that.
We're frying them.
Well, we're cooking them. We started a fire and and you're smelling that sweet, sweet human flesh. Isn't it part of you like, Maybe I'll just break my vegetarianism
I'm very hungry.
I haven't eaten in like, I've just been eating hair and paper for 2 months.
Well, I mean, the ethical dilemma is always like, why are you a vegetarian? Right? And part of it is that animals can't consent to be eaten. So the ethical dilemma might be sidestepped by the fact that the person had volunteered to do it in the first place, right?
So, all right.
So, possibly.
Give me some Gary Bacon.
Just depending on how delicious they looked.
Jocelyn must have written in a second time. Oh, yes, she did. Her headline is, writing 2 days in a row. She's had another thought. Okay. Hopefully, Jocelyn, you pulled over for this one as well. You didn't just write it while you're driving. Nipple ring. So you've got an opinion about nipple ring. Oh. Well, not him, but there was another discussion around etiquette about standing in line. Because remember I was talking about went to the post office and as a community, we all worked it out. She said, in Cuba, lines are never tidy and orderly. Mm-hmm. It's not the kind of lines I've had in Cuba, you know what I mean? Generally, it's a mob of people waiting for something, but spread out so that they're in the shade. So they're not in a line. Uh-huh. This means that there's no end of the line, so to speak. So when someone new rocks up, the crowd yells out, "Ultimo," meaning last, to which the most recent person to have joined the line makes a gesture to indicate who they are. And this continues every new arrival. This avoids any issues of someone stepping away for a moment to take a phone call or something like that and then having to line up again at the end. They just keep an eye out for who they are following and it all works out. So, Charlie, I completely agree that you did the right thing by letting old mate back in the line ahead of you. It was very considerate. I like the Ultimo thing. I think that's a civilized way of doing things.
You like communism, do you? Right? Sure.
Yeah, sure. All right. This next bit of mail is from, so we've been having this discussion around the Tofop medical bracelets and whether or not it is ethical.
Yeah, because our worry would be that someone might be confused for an actual medical bracelet in an emergency situation.
Yeah. So this is, just calls herself New Brunette.
Okay.
I've gone 50 years allergic to penicillin, mm-hmm. and I've never had a medical alert bracelet, but I would consider a Foz design. I mean, it's more, I guess, we want to know from paramedics.
Yes.
Because that's where the confusion.
Because, well, technically, I'm allergic to penicillin, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, although they do say that back in the day, a lot of people were diagnosed as being allergic to penicillin who wouldn't, by today's standards, be allergic to penicillin. So,
I have to confess, I don't even know what penicillin is.
I mean, well, I'm allergic to it, so I'm not like
Madame Curie discovered it.
Yeah, Madame Butterfly. That's right, Susie O'Neill, the swimmer.
Madame Curie found the cure. Yeah. So, what is penicillin?
It's the original. It's the OG antibiotic, really. Drug, isn't it? Like penicillin. It's like I don't know. I'm allergic to it. I'm the one person, we should speculate on medical issues. Our audience will love that very much. But, yeah, so I don't even know how to spell it.
So, oh, my God, I'm going to just sound so dumb here. But so penicillin.
Yeah.
As first antibiotic.
I don't think it's the first.
Okay. But it became the most effective way to speed up the recovery process for infections.
I guess. I don't know. Why are we even still speculating on this?
Because I think it's important to know.
How do you spell penicillin?
P-E-N.
Yeah.
E-C. I double L A N.
I don't reckon that's anywhere near it.
That's pretty incorrect.
Penicillin, I've got no idea. I had penne pasta in my head.
But this is my point.
I'm malfunctioning now. P-P-P. P-I-N. Penicillin. No. In New Zealand, it's penicillin.
P-E-N-I-S, penis illin. My penis illin.
It's the Beastie Boys' unreleased album. Yo, our penis be illin, or we be thrillin. My D's at the back and he be chillin.
We're curing MCs like penicillin.
What is penicillin?
It's a drug.
It's a drug that helps you fight infections.
Yes. Okay, great. So we were right in that, but.
And I had chickenpox. If I didn't have penicillin, I would have died.
Yeah.
Or I would have lost. Or I would have lost an eye. I had a chickenpox like right on my eyelid.
Oh.
I had to go to hospital.
Wow.
That's gross.
So back in the day, I would have been toast.
Yeah. So that's penicillin. There was a point of time where penicillin was like in everything. Whereas I think less so these days, like, yeah, your options are, there seems to be a lot more options. It's never been a problem for me, but my doctor also said, because I've never had penicillin since I was told I was like allergic, there was a time when I may or may not be, you know, allergic to penicillin.
Yeah, you can grow out of penicillin allergies.
Okay. And so does that mean if antibiotics are like variations on penicillin, or evolution of penicillin. Does that mean you're
God, I love that you've just gone back again. You've just waded back into the let's speculate about medical things that neither of us
know anything
about.
Well, I was going to ask, like, that would mean that antibiotics would work better with you because you don't take them very often. Is that right? Do you take antibiotics?
Is that how antibiotics work?
Well, I know that the more exposure you have to antibiotics, the less effective they are. In fact, it's a huge problem in the States, I understand, because there's overprescription of antibiotics and they're finding they're less and less.
And there's something I was always told, again, I don't know if this, but aren't you meant to finish your
course
of antibiotics?
Yes.
But I don't take, I reckon I would take antibiotics.
Anti?
What am I saying?
Anto. Like it's like you're branding your own range of anti-infection.
I've been taking antibiotics.
I'm
on the antibiotics. It's like antibiotics. Yeah. But
they say laughter's the best cure. Not as good as antibiotics. This is from Yosuke. Evening, fellas. I heard Charlie talking about blood work this week.
Okay.
And it made me particularly excited. You see, I'm a medical laboratory scientist. I think that's close to.
Of course.
Scientist. Scientist, doctor, same thing.
But medical laboratory. Yeah. So this is like,
medical professional.
This is medicine, right? Yeah. Like this is, he's down in the lab with a pen and a pad.
Trying to get this damn infection up. Basically, when your doctor sends blood to the lab, they send it to me.
There you go.
And I run all the appropriate testing on it.
He's a blood tester.
Yes, that does make me a medical professional. Yeah, there you go.
Absolutely.
So hearing Charlie talk about how he had to take a stool sample and Will joking about getting the Tupperware container back afterwards made me laugh because, believe it or not, people have asked for their containers back. Mm. One time, a patient dropped off a stool sample in a mason jar. Well, unfortunately, because the test we were running required a specific sterile container, we just threw her sample in the garbage because it was no good.
Okay.
So when we called her to tell her that she'd have to recollect her stool, she was obviously annoyed. But then, much to our surprise, she asked for her jar back. We were all a bit shocked. But when we told her we had to throw it away, she became even more agitated, yelled at us, and then hung up. Over the years, we've thrown away a lot of samples that have arrived in Ziploc bags, jars, and yes, even Tupperware containers. But this was the first time someone had asked for it back. All this to say that Charlie is right and you should follow the instructions given to you by your provider in avoiding to have the dreaded recollect. But that's right. I wasn't in a, no, I did the right thing. I caught it in Tupperware, tested it, and then put the test in the proper thing, the proper container.
Yes, that's right. You didn't.
I wasn't like, well, what's the brand, the Tupperware container brand? You know, the one. You know, what's the most famous brand?
It's, Ziploc?
No.
Tupperware.
Is that?
Tupperware.
Is Tupperware a brand name?
Like
yeah.
Oh, I thought Tupperware is a kind of thing, a plastic, if it's a plastic container.
No,
Tupperware.
It's like
Tupperware,
a Hoover.
No, yeah, or like.
Esky. Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Okay, all right. Keep up the good work, boys. Thank you for keeping me laughing so I can help the doctors keep them living. And in case you're thinking my name sounded familiar, it's because I was one of the TOEFL 12.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Yosuke. Thank you so much for getting in touch with us. I know we have a lot of fun on this show.
We have a lot of fun on this show.
I know.
Hey,
but
we have a lot of fun on this show. But
I do understand –
We sure do have a lot of fun.
I do understand in principle.
Yeah, in principle.
The idea.
We're just having fun.
That this person wanted their mason jar back. I do.
Oh, really?
Get it.
What?
I get it. I get it. See, I'm not a hoarder.
No.
But I am definitely a reuse.
Hoarder adjacent.
I'm a reuse guy. Yeah. Like, let's not throw this out while
let's
it's working.
Let's not throw things out. I'm not a hoarder, but I don't like to throw anything out ever.
Well, no, it's not that I like. I'll get rid of stuff, yeah. But like, Jem is very much about practicality, mm-hmm. which is like, this thing is wonky and whatever. Why don't we just get a new one? One that like save us like, and I'm always like, but it's wonky, but it works. Mm-hmm. I will use this thing until it no longer works.
But the can mason, I ask you something, Charlie?
Yes.
What would you use a mason jar that has had your shit in it? Like,
what
else
jar?
Are you using it for?
Mason jar. Isn't a mason jar what we normally drink out of?
That's the glass jar. Yeah. Well, maybe she makes jam. Yeah. Or something. And so, like, if she sterilized it, she took it home and sterilized it. Like,
that's right.
You know, boiling water.
It's for her local jam range.
Like, what's the issue? What's the issue? Why can't she reuse the mason jar?
Yeah. No, technically, you're right.
I am.
But on a psychological level,
yes, it's the psychological.
You always know that that has been a jar of shit.
Yeah.
And that no matter how much you're enjoying that jam and know it's been sterilized, that you're still going to be thinking about the fact that there was something that looked a lot more like Nutella than jam in that.
I think I could move past it.
Really?
Yeah, because I trust.
Well, remind me never to take anything out of a jar at your house.
I can trust, because I trust this sterilization process and the fact that it would be cleaned.
Well, it's, of course.
Thoroughly.
Everything's got shit in it.
Yeah. Not?
Yeah.
When did that happen? I don't know. Is that true?
Yeah. Unfortunately, pretty much everything in the world has shit in it.
Like fecal traces?
Yes. Everything.
Like
there's
what?
Shit everywhere.
Like in this room,
every
in
bit
the
of
studio?
Probably.
Well, I guess. Who knows what goes on this place?
Man, yes, come on.
Like
there'd be shit.
Christmas party.
But like people would go to the bathroom and they wouldn't wash their hands properly and they come back in and they touch these microphones or whatever. There's shit everywhere.
Yeah.
Like fast food restaurants, everywhere you go. Anytime you get food for a takeaway, there's shit in it. There's shit in your food.
And now a word from our sponsor. this is from Marina. Hey, well, this is related back to Montreal.
Okay.
For the last few years, I've been using the Everyone Relax family of shows. I love the way that she's picked up on the new branding. She didn't say Tofop, she said Everyone Relax.
I like it.
It's working. Finally.
Who are you yelling at?
Us as a group. I've been using the Everyone Relax family of shows as a way of finding new comedians to check out. Festival in Montreal. It's been resoundingly successful. I've loved every show. Particular highlights were Ursula Carlson and Reese Nicholson.
Yes.
But with this week's sad announcement of the JFL being cancelled, I'm feeling a little bereft and was wondering if Will had any words or suggestions of other ways to support comics from afar.
Ah, interesting. Well, I mean, of course, as we always say when we're giving a plug on this, you can support our Patreon page, but you can also do that for other people. Like there tends to be these days, most creators have some way that you can support them, whether it be they have an Instagram link or if they have like, most people have a link tree now. I often find if you like someone, if you find a clip you like or you like an artist you like, just go to their socials and like have a look at their link tree and you'll see, oh, they've got a book or, you know, they've got this thing that I can support. So I think that generally is the best way still to do it. If you like someone on one of our shows, like I love the idea that you use our world and our universe as a bit of a starting point, but then just use it to go outwards and find other places. But yeah, it's really sad that that festival is not happening this year, and I hope that it will happen again in the future.
Yeah, we always endeavour to, when we have guests on one of our shows, to put links in the episode description. So if you like this person you've listened to and you want to know what they've done, just check the episode description. There's usually a link to their podcast or their website or something. Last little one. This is just for Amy because I thought we'd finish on another person who's been slapping me down for my forcing of a mic.
Oh, yeah.
Regarding producer Amy and her mic-related name, her surname is Kimball and can be rearranged into a range of anagram-like mic options, such as Mike LB and Mickleby.
Mickleby.
Thank you from Nathan, a PhD doctor, not a medical one, and not the tattoo Nathan from your previous episode.
How do you feel about it?
I appreciate the effort. I assume they're going off my name being spelt B-L-E, which is, it's not, it's B-A-L-L.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, we'll have to think of a different anagram.
Yes, Kimball.
Oh, yeah, that's a shame. Yes. All right. Yeah. Sorry, Nathan. Yeah. We appreciate your thinking.
It was good.
It was creative, though. Yeah.
Creative.
Love an anagram.
Good start.
Good start. It's a good start. Will, you've got shows, live shows. You're always touring now.
Yes.
You're never going to stop touring. You're like LMAFO. Now, the way they love partying, you love touring.
It's true. Also, I don't actually have anywhere to live at the moment, so I have to keep
sleeping in the basement comedy club. I mean, this is, you're talking lived experience.
Oh, yeah, no, I was taking notes through that entire conversation.
I'm going to have to become a cannibal.
How do you think it'll come down? I'm going to arrange an earthquake. Yes, my show, Will Legitimate, is touring all over australiacomedy.com.au.
And the Everyone Relax feed, all good stuff, lots of great shows. We're running out of time to promote them, but you just go to everyonerelax.co. It's all there. That's TOEFOP for this week. I'm Charlie Clawson.
I'm a Levison.
How long? Not long. Everyone relax.
Listener.